Well, hello and welcome to this week's traditional service from St Andrew's and All Saints. Welcome to those people who are here and those of you watching on at home online too. You are really welcome. Today we're going to be starting a new sermon series for the next few weeks, which is looking at the promises of God. And I hope this will be a really encouraging few weeks of just dwelling in some of the promises of God and allowing those promises to restore us at this season. And Helen's going to be speaking this morning on the promise of blessing as we look at the passage from Numbers 6 that we will know quite well, many of us. But first of all, let us just come to worship and to just still ourselves before God this morning. And we say, Lord, direct our thoughts and teach us to pray. Lift up our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9 says this: The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. And we're going to reflect on God's goodness in our first song, which is Sing of the Lord's Goodness. Those who are here aren't able to sing. Those who are at home, belt it out in your homes. But let's just remember as we reflect or sing on these words, God's goodness and God's character. We may not be able to at this time to sing out our praises in church, but we can at home and outside, and we sing of your glory, and we bless your name. And as we come today, we come knowing that actually we don't always live as you want us to live, but yet your compassion and goodness means that there is healing, there is forgiveness, there is restoration available with you. So Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from sin and turn to the Lord, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought and word and deed. We've not loved you with our whole heart. We've not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And may Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And today, as I say, we're starting this series looking at the promises of God. And so I thought what it would be good to do is just to hear some of those promises this morning. And I'm going to read out several scriptures which just contain some of the promises of God. And while I'm doing that, Darren's going to play in the background. And I just encourage you to dwell in these words. Maybe there's one of these which is particularly relevant for you today. Just hear the truths of who God is and of what he promises. And may that strengthen you and encourage you to keep going and looking to him. So Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Those who are grieving and struggling today, Psalm 147 says, reminds us that he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Just allow God to bring you healing and bandage your wounds today. Those feeling overwhelmed with burdens and all that's ahead and uncertainty, hear these words. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Just dwell in the faithfulness of our God. Offer him your burdens. Offer him your worries. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's just that promise that we need not fear even death. But if we live our lives believing and trusting in our God, he offers us the promise of eternal life. Isaiah 40 but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. To those who are weary, allow God to renew your strength. Revelation 21, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. It's that promise of the new heaven and the new earth. When we don't understand what's happening in our lives, in the world right now, to hold on to that promise that one day God will wipe every tear from our eyes. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. If you're feeling weak, a failure, lost, struggling today, you know God's grace is sufficient. It's his promise. God's grace is sufficient for you. He brings power in your weakness. Corinthians 5, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You know, we don't have to live in the past, in our guilt and shame, and just with all the stuff, the baggage of our past life. Jesus says if we're in Christ, we are a new creation. Maybe there's some of us whose hearts have hardened in this last few months, this last year, hardened towards God, hardened towards others, just because of all that's happened. Or perhaps people have let you down and you're just full of bitterness and anger. Then hear this promise. God says, I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. Just maybe ask God to soften your heart right now. You know, these are just some of the promises of Scripture that we are called to dwell on. I'm called to journey in those truths and allow God to meet us and transform us. Helen's going to come and to introduce our series now and then speak on this passage from Numbers.
It's lovely actually to be here. I just want to say it's just great to be here with fellow worshippers, rather than speaking to a wall or something at home. And there is something about being the people of God together which is really special. And this week we're beginning a new series of Bible teaching that's been chosen for a specific purpose. As Dave reminded us at our APCM, as we emerge from lockdown, we're in a season of reflection, of replanting, of reconnecting and recovery. Exactly what that's going to mean is hard to determine at the moment. And that's why Dave focused us last week on 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 12, where it says how God's people simply prayed to him, how they focused on him. And the scripture text says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And that's how we are feeling as a church right now. that our eyes are looking to God for the future. And so it seemed good in this season that we should spend some time remembering what it means for us to be the people of God. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the promises of God that affirm our identity as God's chosen people. And that will be followed by a teaching series on our call to be collectively God's people, looking at the latter part of Paul's letter to the Romans. None of us comes out of lockdown unscathed. The world in which we live is in some ways the same, yet in many ways quite different from how it looked just over a year ago. And so we're in a time of transition. So for the first of our promises, we're going to begin with a promise that was given to another group of God's people when they too were on a journey. And like us, they'd been in the wilderness for just over a year. And the promise comes from the Old Testament book of Numbers. In fact, the Hebrew title for the book of Numbers is In the Wilderness. And it's the most wonderful promise of blessing that will enable us to begin our journey of transition, focusing on God's heart of love for us, that we might receive afresh that love for ourselves. But before we read this promise of blessing, just a bit of background. God's people, Israel, had recently known incarceration as slaves in Egypt, in their wilderness journey en route to the promised land. And they were re-emerging into an unfamiliar outside world, and it is in this situation that God meets them. He encourages them not to look to the past or even to the future, but to simply enjoy being who they are, a people belonging to God, who are deeply loved by him and whom he promises to bless. And so as we look at this passage from the book of Numbers, which I'm going to read in a moment, let's pray together, shall we? Father God, thank you that your word speaks life into our hearts. We ask that today you will speak to us by this passage afresh in the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Our reading is from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, 'The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.' So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It will be good to soak in these verses. So if you've got them there in front of you at home, then first of all, we're going to look at chapter 6, verse 27, where it says, "I will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." The heart of this promise is God's desire to bless. I will bless them. Sometimes this blessing is referred to as the Aaronic blessing, because Aaron, the Jewish high priest, was the first one to use it. But in fact, the blessing is authored and executed by the Lord God Almighty himself. It is God who does the blessing. Notice also in this verse that God's people have God's name on them. Now, this is no small thing. In Bible times, names summed up a person's character and identity. Here in this promise, God calls himself Lord Yahweh, a name so sacred that could not be spoken. The name Yahweh encompasses his glory, his nature, his very self. Yet here in this promise we find that God is so eager to own us that he says, "I, the Lord, will put my name on them." We belong to the Lord of glory. In fact, we belong to the Lord of glory forever. The book of Revelation tells us that when we meet him in heaven, we will see him face to face, and his name will be on our foreheads. Revelation 22, verse 4. So what all of this means is that God is for us. I can't emphasize that enough. He is eager to claim us, to say that we are his, to name us as his, and to bless us. In fact, blessing was always part of God's plan. At the start of creation, we find that when God made all living creatures, he blessed them. In other words, he wished them well. Be fruitful, he said, Genesis chapter 1, verse 22. In Genesis 9, in the story of Noah, God blessed Noah and his family. Be fruitful, he said. Take responsibility for the world where I've placed you. And as a sign of his commitment, God put a rainbow in the sky to remind them of his goodness and his desire to bless. Now, centuries later, in the midst of the wilderness journeyings en route to the promised land, God's people received this blessing under the leadership of Moses and Aaron. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them." With the coming of Jesus, this blessing is only reinforced. In his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus repeatedly announced God's blessings in statements that today we call the Beatitudes. And in his engagement with the crowds, Jesus blessed little children. At the end of Luke's Gospel, we find that when he finally bids farewell to his disciples and he ascends into heaven, he is still blessing them. Luke 24, verse 50. In fact, God has never stopped blessing his people. That's why Paul can write to the early church in Ephesus, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are God's people. His name is on us, and we have his blessing. So what does this blessing mean exactly? What is it? Well, the word translated as blessing is actually quite nuanced. Simply translated, it can mean happy. But happiness is hard to define. The Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel can be translated happy. But it gets a bit tricky when Jesus says things like, "Blessed are you," when people insult you and persecute you. Happy doesn't quite convey the right meaning. Being blessed is more than simply being comfortable. It's more like the Hebrew word shalom, meaning well-being. This is well-being, not well-having. This sort of happiness is not based on how much we possess, the things that make us comfortable. Blessing is like a shalom that brings well-being and fruitfulness. Remember, that was one of the first commands that Adam and Eve were given. The ideal portrayed by the Garden of Eden was for the people to be in an intimate relationship with God in circumstances designed for their well-being, in which they could bring about fruitful labour. The Hebrews knew their constant need of God's promise to bless. They turned it into worship in psalms such as Psalm 67. "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation amongst all people." This psalm echoes an interesting point, that the blessing wasn't just there for them. The blessing was to be shared. So they were blessed in order to bring blessing to others. It was part of God's call to Abraham, and it's a call to both the old Israel and to the new Israel of God, who are the church today. Living in the blessing ourselves will mean that we live to bless others. God designed it so that we could all bear fruit together. Yet it's a calling that is easy to shrink back from. The promise of blessing in Numbers 6 is prayed over by the people by Aaron, who was a leader who failed God in a number of ways, once really badly. Nevertheless, God chose him to declare a blessing to others. And that's a great encouragement when so often we imagine that God won't want to use me. One way to get started is simply to use this blessing as a prayer for others. A friend of mine put a copy of Numbers 6, 22 to 27 next to her wash basin. Every time she washes her hands, she prays this blessing for someone. She said that in a year of COVID, it's amazing how many people you can pray for. Don't ever think that what you have to offer is insignificant. I like to think that we're all links in a chain, and God uses each one of us to be a blessing to others in a whole host of different ways. One person who's really blessed me during lockdown has been my friend Elaine. Just over a year ago, Elaine was going through a really tough time when she bumped into a neighbour of hers who comes to St Andrews. Through that encounter, she heard about CAP, and Elaine found them really helpful. CAP was followed by the practical kindness of the St Andrews blessing team, and I came pretty much at the end of the chain, really, offering friendship to Elaine at the end of a phone. Elaine often says to me that she dreads to think where she would be today if she hadn't experienced this blessing. She's found a real and living faith in Jesus in the past year, and it all started from that simple encounter with a St Andrews neighbour in the street. Elaine's given me permission to share a poem that she wrote at the beginning of this month. Today the sun is shining along with my heart and soul, and I thank the Lord for my new friends who saved me from my sad madness. In the Lord's name I now appreciate the love that is invisible unless you believe. So much sadness and loneliness taking me in and out of nowhere. So many doubts and fears accumulated throughout the years, which easily added to my heavy mind. And the pain held me so tight that I couldn't breathe, leaving me even more alone and unable to trust the unknown and recognize the obvious anger within me, along with the unseen, which I now know to be the devil's work, as he tried to capture my soul. The thoughts which he encased in me, encouraging me to disbelieve the Lord's love and goodness, which is right in front of me for all to see. My soul and heart now cleansed, my future a reality of light and goodness, and my past a thing of nightmares which I no longer fear or cry over. And she ends with these words in bold: thank you, Lord, for your love and belief in me. You can read Elaine's poem for yourself in the weekly mailing on our website. Elaine's blessing from God has blessed me back. God's plan is for us to be a blessing to others. So let's have a look in a bit more detail as to what experiencing this blessing can mean for each one of us. I've already mentioned our well-being. The Lord's blessing here in Numbers 6 also conveys on us his keeping power. The promise says, "The Lord bless you and keep you." God's keeping power offers security, even in a storm. The ancients feared the sea, and for them it represented the worst of the terrors that we can face in this life. That's in part why I think that when Jesus wanted to show his power over the whole of creation, he did so when he was trapped in a storm with his disciples on a tiny boat on Lake Galilee. They learned that if Jesus could be trusted to keep them safe in that situation, then he could be trusted with anything. We're currently in the season of Easter, and the resurrection reminds us that there is nothing that God's power cannot overcome, even death itself. That's why in his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8:38, I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God keeps us, you see, even in the storm, even through a global pandemic. Knowing God's blessing is not a passport to an easy life, but it does mean that God never, ever lets us go. The promise moves on. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Proverbs 16 verse 15 says, when a king's face brightens, it means life. A shining face carries a sense of favour. God's face turned towards us speaks of his loving attention. The question is, do we seek his face or do we hide from it? Accepting blessings sounds obvious. Who won't want to have a sense of well-being, shalom, fruitfulness, security, and a sense of belonging, of knowing the peace that's promised in verse 26? And yet Jesus got to the heart of our reluctance to accept the blessings when he spoke in Luke 15 of the parable of the prodigal son. The younger son had rejected the father's blessing and wandered away from his true home, away from his father's love. But when he came around, turned around and came back, he discovered that the father had a smiling face, a countenance so full of joy that he wanted to throw a party at his son's return. Not only was the father's face turned towards him, his whole body was. He ran out to meet him and brought him home. When God's face shines upon us, we experience his grace. Grace bridges the gap between my expectation of myself and the failure that I experience. In the parable, God's smiling face and his welcoming open arms offer the younger son his amazing grace. Yet the story also features an older son who couldn't bring himself to receive the blessing. He thought he was all sorted out. He could manage perfectly well, thank you very much. He thought he didn't need grace. And so he turned away from the father's open, smiling countenance turned towards him. He forfeited the father's blessing and failed to experience peace. Which son do you identify with the most, I wonder? If we accept this promise of blessing, it means that we can start each day with the expectation that God is rooting for us. He wants to bless each one of us so that we can be a blessing to others. It's a good idea to keep this promise from the book of Numbers handy to remind us. We don't have to persuade God to bless us. It's we who need to be reminded. And at the end of the day, look back on the ways in which God has blessed you and give thanks. Many of us know this promise of blessing really well, and yet we still struggle to receive it on a daily basis. One reason that we fail to do that is that, like the younger son in the parable of the prodigal son, we think that God won't want to bless us. In coming to his father, the young man thought that he wasn't worthy enough. Treat me one of your hired servants, he said to the father. I am not worthy to be your son. He may not have been worthy, But he knew that. But of course he wasn't worthless. How welcoming was his father when he returned. The Lord really wants to make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. So many of us secretly think that God wants to bless someone else and not me. But this blessing is given for all God's people. Whatever our personal story, God really is that gracious. The other thing that blocks us from this blessing is when we fail to realise that this promise in all its fullness is something that we don't really need. It's too much. But think of the elder son in the parable. Some people can reckon that if they work hard enough, they can bring about the blessing themselves. Yet the whole point of this blessing is that it is God's gift to his people. It is God's gift to us. It is a sign of his ownership upon us, his name upon us. He alone is the bringer of blessing. We just have to receive. The Lord says, I will do the blessing. Later on in this service, we're going to receive communion. And as we do that, can I encourage you today that as you put out your hands to receive, that you make that a gesture of commitment to receiving the blessings that God has for you. Jesus was so practical, wasn't he? He asked us to remember his love for us in physical tokens, the bread and the wine given as his body and his blood. So as we receive these tokens of his great love for us, let's remember that he's given his life for us, and so he promises to bless us. He's given us all that he can. He wants to bless us. However we're feeling, may we all receive this blessing today as we worship together. Amen.
After that, I think I should have run home and rewritten these prayers. I saw a quote by an unknown Greek philosopher the other week in a magazine, a book I was looking at. And the quote was that out of adversity there will rise many people to defeat it. And it struck me when Dave asked me to, if I would read the prayers this morning, that really applies to what has happened, I think, in our country this last year in many ways. And that is the sort of line I'm taking with this prayer. God, our loving Father, as we live through difficult times, we do so in the knowledge that you are Father of all people, that you are always with us, to hear our prayers and supplications, giving freely of your love and care. We know too that if we give in your name, we shall receive. We have been blessed in great abundance in this past year. It sounds like a contradiction in view of the circumstances in which it occurred, but by the dedication of so many people and their indefatigable efforts to overcome the COVID pandemic and to maintain a degree of normality in our lives, we now pray for your blessings on them. Difficult, often controversial decisions had to be made by government, scientists and researchers, who planned and brought to fruition the vaccines which appear to be making good progress towards success. May your blessings sustain them in their continuing efforts. For the medical and nursing staff of our incomparable NHS, who gave all that they could, and then more, in the loving and professional care they gave to all the afflicted, often in detriment to their life, their own health and even lives. And for all the other emergency services, may your blessings sustain them in their continuing efforts. Our local authorities worked throughout the year, maintaining as many of its services as possible, from disseminating and explaining sometimes complex regulations, through to the continuation of household waste collections, fire, gas and water services, postal services, all worked within the safety regulations, as did many social groups and volunteers, delivering meals, making phone calls to help reduce the threat of loneliness, and offering help with shopping. And of course the shopkeepers who worked to maintain food supplies. May your blessings sustain all of them in their continuing efforts. Throughout this past year, our church community has been blessed by the inspired leadership of Dave and Peter, assisted by the technical guys, Derek and Simon, and by service leaders. They provided several services online each week, all of which were well received. Life group meetings have continued on Zoom, and as restrictions ease, in-person services have restarted. As we pray for the day when our worshippers can gather freely, we pray now that you pour your blessings upon Dave and Peter and all who engaged with them in this work to keep our church connected, alive, thriving. May your blessings sustain them in their continuing efforts. There are, of course, thousands of others who have been engaged in pastoral and other voluntary work, and their contribution to the welfare of people in need, lonely or depressed, is not to be ignored. Grant them too that your blessings will sustain them in their continuing efforts. Finally, Lord, we pray that everyone who has lost someone, a loved one, in this trying time might know, through the blessings you bestow upon them, that the loved one is safe in your care. All this we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
As we come to gather around the Lord's table, we're going to just share, first of all, the peace with each other. And if you're here, then just do turn to each other where you are and just communicate the peace. If you're at home, then perhaps ring somebody or just pray for somebody. But Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you." Let's share with one another a sign of the peace. I just love what was at the end of Elaine's poem that Helen read out. Just that God loves and believes in us. You know, that's a remarkable statement, isn't it? And as we come and share the bread and the wine, this is a symbol that God loves and believes in us and wants to bless us. And it reminds us of that most important of moments of when God showed his love on the cross for each one of us. So let's come, as Helen says, and just receive God's blessing in these gifts. And if you're at home, you might like to pause this and get some bread and wine for you to share too. So the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared your life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread. And he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. And so draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith. With thanksgiving. And I just invite you as you come out to, and hold out your hands to just use that as a symbol of offering your hands to receive the blessing which God longs to give you. And as you receive this bread and wine, just know that God loves you and that God believes in you. And that God wants you to flourish and to take his blessing and bless others. say together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And before I just pronounce the blessing over us and we listen to the blessing too, I want to just give us an invitation. You know, Helen's lovely story of that story of Elaine, of blessing others, of just being used by the God who has blessed us to bless others. And last week I talked at the APCM about reconnecting, this season of reconnection. And I want to give you a reconnecting invitation. And that is this, to think of somebody, prayerfully think of somebody this week who you haven't seen for a while, maybe someone in church who you just haven't connected to for months. And get in touch with them, either by phoning them or by going for a walk or going for a coffee. And simply ask them two questions. One, how has your lockdown been? I think it's really important as we reconnect to hear each other's stories, to listen deeply to each other, to understand where each other are at. So how's your lockdown experience been recently? And secondly, that prayer, that question of how can I pray for you? And if you're confident praying for them, then pray for them there and then. And if not, maybe actually it's just to take this blessing away. And actually say, that's the person I'm going to pray blessing on, God's blessing on in this coming week. And just imagine if we all did that, how many connections, extra connections, would be made this week. So prayerfully ask, who can I connect with, reconnect with? Ask them how their lockdown's been, and what can I pray for you? And pray blessing on them. And so, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, to shine upon you and be gracious unto you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine to shine upon you and be gracious, unto you.
The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you.
The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you.
Oh.
go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.